Let's go. So we're learning Shabbos on Kuf Beis Amid Beis. If you remember, there's this machlokes between Rav and Shmuel about three cases. If someone is Masate Sasa Evan, or Osa Neke Belosho Tanagolam, etc. According to Rav, it's a Chiyav Mishambona. According to Shmuel, it's Makeh B'Patish. So the Rishonim are all bothered by the question, how can it be possibly that Yechayv Mishum Bona? Don't we know that Ein Binyan B'Kalim, we have this categorical rule, that there's no such thing as Binyan B'Kalim. So we, so far, have a few explanations that we presented. Who wants to tell me what the Yireim says? Or the Yireim as presented in the Hagolos Mordechai?
That there's no, that
seems
Rashi, that there's no categorical.
That, right, the Urayim, so I think we presented it last time, the Urayim is the same as Rashi, but what does Rav mean when Rav says that there is no...
Oh, is this the Hagolah of like, oh, just like, it wasn't, so it's not Makeh B'Patish.
Right. No, so what the Urayim is really saying is that when Rav says Yechayim Mishum Bona, Rav doesn't mean Yechayim Mishum Bona. Rav means that, well, it can't be Makeh B'Patish. So therefore, it's not really Bona. That's kind of the Urayim's approach, and there is zero such thing as Binyan B'Kalim, according to the Urayim. And Rashi also, as presented in a number of different places, Rashi says that there is zero such thing as Binyan B'Kalim. Zero such thing. However, within Rashi, it is harder to say that when Rav says there's no binyan, that Rav is only coming to, or excuse me, that when Rav says Yechayim Mishum Bona, Rav means that there's no Makeh B'Patish. The Urayim's argument that Bona, according to Rav, means it's not Makeh B'Patish is a little difficult. It's a little difficult. And it's difficult for a few reasons. First of all, it's difficult because, let's turn this off. It's difficult because it's just much easier to assume that Rav simply disagrees and Rav simply holds that Yesh Binyan B'Kalim. We could make a very fair case that when we paskin as a rule categorically Ein Binyan B'Kalim, we're not going within Rav's Shita in our Gemara. That Rav in fact holds Yesh Binyan B'Kalim. Now this Shita is known, and it's going to be very hard to find in my words of the Rabbeinu Chananel, but in the Rabbeinu Chananel on the Gemara, Rabbeinu Chananel says something to the effect of, it's actually, yeah, Yehuda, I saw a Tara, was like 3 pages on, right? Because in my Gemara it's also like that, it's like in a very weird place. So, the Rabbeinu Chananel says that Rav holds Yesh Binyan B'Kalim. No? Rabbeinu Chananel says that according to Rav, Yesh Binyan B'Kalim. Now, if you remember when we saw the Mordechai commented that Rav has to hold Ein Binyan B'Kalim entirely because Rav permits one to throw chairs into a fire on Yontiv. And how can I throw a chair into the fire on Yontiv? Isn't that Stira? Right? And Binyan and Stira are opposite. So the fact is that if Rav permits me to throw a chair into the fire, that's because Rav holds Ein Binyan B'Kalim. That is the proof that is brought by the Hagos Mordechai in the back of the Gemara. Remember, we read this last time inside, no? Hagos Mordechai quoted a Gemara in Bameh Madlikin that you are allowed to throw chairs into the fire. Right, he says that Rav holds Ein Stira B'Kalim. That Rav says Masikin B'Kalim. The Ein Lecha Stira G'dola Mizu. That Rav says you're able to burn Kalim. And that shows that there's no Stira B'Kalim. So if there's no Stira B'Kalim, obviously Rav holds Ein Binyan B'Kalim. Right, that's what the Hagos Mordechai says. The Rabbi Nochanano, however, argues that Rav really holds Yesh Binyan B'Kelim. Right? That's what we see in the Rabbi Nochanano here. Rav says Yesh Binyan B'Kelim. We could make a case that Rashi also holds that according to Rav, Yesh Binyan B'Kelim. And to do this, you have to turn to the Gemara Daf Kuf Chof Ches Amid Beis. Okay, so there's a discussion here in the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. You recognize the name Rav? Kuf Chav Ches Amid Beis, right where it says Gemara. There is two places where it says Gemara. There's Mishnah 1 and Mishnah 2. Kuf Chav Ches Amid Beis at Mishnah 1. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Behema shenofel amas hamayim. Let's say you have an animal that falls into a puddle of water or something. So maybe karmuk sasu sumi niach techta, huh? Vim also. Right? You can put some pillows, some kalim under the animal. And if the animal comes out, it comes out. So then the Gemara says, what do you mean? We see that behema falls into amas hamayim. You have to like feed it or something. Right? So it shouldn't die. You can only feed it, but you can't put karmuk sasos. So Gemara says, no. Hada efshir b'parnosa, hada e efshir b'parnosa. Efshir b'parnosa in, ilo, maybe karmuk sasos umay neach tachta'a. In other words, it's preferred to feed the animal, so it doesn't die when it's in this pit of water. If not, you can bring the pillows. Frek the Gemara, how are you allowed to bring the pillows? Hakamivato keili mehechano. Right, the Gemara says that one of the rules that we have of mukta is called being mevato kli mehechano, which is that something that's designated to be allowed to use on Shabbos, I can't make it not allowed to use on Shabbos. Mevato kli mehechano. Right, I can't take something which is usable and now put an animal on top of it. The animal is mukta, and I'm making the keli unusable. So the Gemara answer is, well, we hold that Mvato Klimei Chanos Derabonon, Sa Balachayim is Dairaisa, and the Dairaisa overcomes the Derabonon. A beautiful Gemara, no? I'm allowed to put my pillows underneath the animal to get the animal up, because Bito Klimei Chanos and Isser Derabonon, and the Isser Dairaisa, Sa Balachayim, is more powerful than the Isser Derabonon. So far, so good? What's the nature of the Isser Bito Klimei Chanos? Look at Rashi. Rashi, Shabbos, Kuf Chav Ches Amid Beis.
Should I read it?
Could do that, or you can just tell me what Rashi says.
He's saying that it's similar to a spira of a binyan, which is derabanan.
Whoa. Do you see the problem here?
Yes.
What's the problem? Rashi holds ein binyan b'kelim. Yet, so how can there be an iser of Mevato kli mehechano, which is like soser, when there ain't no such thing as soser on a keli? That's the kasha. Sophia, you have to enjoy the kasha before we answer it. But you enjoyed it yet?
Yes.
Okay, good. Weiter, okay. Yeah.
But like, this is something that came up like the Igra Moshe, just like, with any like destructive malacha, it's only the derite that it's almanat, whatever.
Okay.
So why can't we just be like, oh, like there's no constructive, whatever.
But it's still going to be some Isser D'Rabbanan. No, there's an Isser D'Rabbanan that it's like you're being Soser Akele. And the problem is, if I hold that there's no such thing as Stira B'Kelim, so how could I have an Isser D'Rabbanan that's like Soser Akele? That's our Kasha on Rashi. So many of the Mefarshim say, it's not so difficult. Because the author of this Gemara in Kuf Chav Ches Amid Beis is Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. And maybe Rav holds Yesh Binyan B'Kelim. In other words, Rashi is very similar to the Urayim, but not exactly. No? The Urayim is saying that when Rav says Yechai Mishum Bone, it just means not Makib Apatish. But maybe Rashi fundamentally holds that there's a humongous, right, gargantuan, or whatever the official term is, machlokas between Rav and Shmuel about whether yesh binyan b'kelim. And Rav holds yesh binyan b'kelim, and the raya to that is the Gemara on Kuf Chav Ches within Rav. I think it's nice. That's the pshat. Good? So far we have two shitas of Rishonim. We have Yerayim and Rabbi Nuchanano / Rashi. Aye, how do we get out of the raya from burning the kelim? No. The Hagos Mordechai says that obviously there's no steer of the kelim according to Rav, because Rav holds I'm allowed to throw the chair into the fire in Yontiv. So that shows that steer is permitted. How would we get out of that? So this is already a harder kasha. The Vilna Gaon has a razzle-dazzle answer. I give you the source. It's Shin Yodalid Os Dalid in the Gra. The Gra says that when I throw a chair into the fire, it's not doing the malacha of Soser B'yadayim. It is a grumma. Right? Grumma in again, what grumma means on Shabbos is hard to explain fully. But grumma, according to many mefarshim, is when I do a malacha that takes a certain time until it happens, when there's a time delay. When I throw a chair into the fire, the soser does not take place right away, no? The soser on the chair does not happen until after the chair has been in the fire. Think about it. You put the chair in the fire, right? So at first the bottom of the legs burn, right? So it's still a chair. It's just like Lahavdala Shiva chair. It's like shorter, no? It has to burn more and more and more until it's really soser. That might be grumma. The Vilna Gaon says that Rav holds yesh binyan b'kelim. Rav holds yesh stira b'kelim. Aye, how come I'm allowed to throw the chair into the fire? Zuck the gra, grumma. Now, whether this is really considered grumma, the gra is probably taking a stand on grumma. I think we paskin now that you're allowed to inhale. That's what Elizabeth Warren said. No, what's her name? Kamala Harris, right? She's also a candidate for president. So she acknowledged that she actually did inhale, unlike Bill Clinton, who said he didn't inhale. But so this is, you have no idea what I'm talking about. That's fine. You're Canadian. You have a heter. you can take that any way you want. But the reality is that the gra is taking a certain stand on what the nature of grumma is. Hold that. It's something that maybe we'll discuss later. This is man if we learn grumma in greater detail. Okay? So now, so far we have the shita of Yerayim and Rashi. What about Tosfos? How does Tosfos say yesh binyan b'kelim, yesh stira b'kelim, etc.?
In binyan b'kelim isn't categorical. Like most of the time there isn't binyan b'kelim, but there could be situations where...
Okay, and when is there yesh binyan b'kelim according to Tosfos?
If you mean like onus or chizuk or...
So Tosfos by us on Kuf Beis Amud Beis says that if it requires chizuk and umnus, then there is binyan b'kelim. Right? That probably means if it's like some sort of professional thing. If it's done in a really good way. Then there's binyan b'kelim according to Tosfos. Tosfos on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, however, said something a little different. What did Tosfos on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis say?
If it's like a full kli?
If I make a full kli, mitchila ad sof. Tosfos on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis says that even though ain binyan b'kelim, that means if I like tinker with it. But if I build a full kli, asiyas hakli, then yesh binyan b'kelim according to Tosfos. That's very different than our Tosfos.
Probably a lesser understanding of what would make you chayav mishum
bonah. So I don't know, lesser or more. It's
so if you have a menorah shel chulios, let's say, and you were to put that together, that would be chayav mishum bonah.
If I make the whole thing, I'm chayav mishum bonah. Menorah shel chulios, it could be the whole thing was made beforehand. I'm just like flipping it into place. But if I make an entire kli according to Tosfos Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, I'm chayiv. According to Tosfos Kuf Beis Amud Beis, I'm only chayiv if I make the entire thing, if it's like some sort of professional thing. One of my kids asked me on Shabbos if they're allowed to make paper airplanes on Shabbos. No? Mm-hmm. My understanding is when my second grader makes a paper airplane, it's not at all professional. No? Is it, however, asiyas kol hakli? Maybe. I'm taking a piece of paper and I'm making it into an airplane, right? They throw them, they fly, right?
What did you say?
Huh?
What did you say?
Told them he shouldn't.
Because of the sosos.
Because I think we're choshesh that's considered some sort of binyan, yeah. Okay, but the tosis on ayin dalet, I think, is asiyas kol hakli, which is different than the tosis on kuf beis about chizuk and umnus. Now let's segue into opening containers on Shabbos. This is the Mishnah on kuf mem vav. The Mishnah on kuf mem vav says, shover odom es hachavis, lecho himena grogros, uvuvad shalo yiskavin lasos kli. Right? That's the whole thing that we have to know. That's like all of Judaism is in that one line. I could break open a barrel to eat some figs, grogros are like pressed figs, uvuvad shalo yiskavin lasos kli, providing I don't intend to make a kli. Now, we already pointed out, I think, that Rashi has like some striking formulation here. According to Rashi, how come I'm allowed to break open the chavis? Zokt Rashi. She'ain b'mekalkel shum iser Shabbos, no? You see that? Rashi and Kuf Mem Vav says that it's an act of destruction, and destructive act is not at all forbidden on Shabbos. So an iser mekalkel should be d'rabbanan. So the answer probably is that Rashi holds that ain binyan bekelim entirely. And therefore, min ha-Torah there's zero iser. The only thing I have over here is, like, it looks bad on some level, no? Some sort of iser d'rabbanan. Because some sort of iser d'rabbanan, I'm mekel on the mekalkel, zok Rashi, because it's only an iser d'rabbanan to begin with. Right, Rashi's comment of "Ein b'makalko shum iser Shabbos l'cha'ora" cannot be taken as a general statement. It's not a general statement. "Ein b'makalko shum iser Shabbos" means, in this case, when I'm only dealing with binyan b'kelim, then "Ein b'makalko shum iser Shabbos." Now, according to Rashi, "Shovar dem asachavis." What type of barrel am I allowed to break? Any barrel, no? Rashi was "Ein binyan b'kelim" all the time. Break any barrel you want. That's what Rashi says. Tosfos, what does Tosfos say? I didn't hear?
You can only break a weak barrel.
Only a weak barrel, a mustiki. A mustiki is like a barrel that's like basically stuck together with like chewing gum or whatever. It's not like a full-fledged barrel. It's a junky barrel. Now, according to Tosis, the reason why I'm talking about a mustiki, l'cha'ora, is Tosis holds that yesh binyan and yesh stira b'kelim. So how am I allowed to break it open to get the food? There's no heter just because you're hungry on Shabbos. That is not mekel on anything. So how come I'm allowed to break open this barrel, according to Tosis? Aye, there's stira b'kelim. The answer is zoktosis. I'm not talking about a full-fledged keli. I'm talking about a lousy keli. And because I'm talking about a lousy keli, that's why I'm allowed to break it open on Shabbos to get the food. No? Tosis is making an important statement, right? That because it is a lousy keli, that's why it's permitted. Now, the problem that we have in Judaism usually begins with the Rambam, no? Judaism was an awesome religion. Then Maimonides was born, and suddenly, we got problems. Okay. Rambam writes in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Yud Halacha Yud Beis. The Rambam writes, Habona Ha'osa o'al kavua, ha'osa kli adama. This perek yud halacha yud gimel, excuse me. Ha'osa kli adama. Let's say I make a keli, It's made out of dirt. I make a tanor. I make a chavis. That is bona, and I'm chayiv. Ram says it's chayiv, it's bona. If I make a kli, I'm chayiv misham bona. In other words, that is basically what I'd say Tosis on Ayin Dalet says, no? If I make a kli, mitchila atzof, I'm chayiv. That's what the Rambam says. Now, if that's the case, if I'm chayiv, if I'm osa kli, so then what's my heter for breaking the keli open? It should be that the heter is only if it's a mustiki, no? That's what emerges from Tosis. Yet the Rambam, in Hilchos Shabbos 23:2, the Rambam writes that you're able, shovar adam asachavis lecho mimena grogros, and the Rambam does not tell me I'm only talking about a lousy chavis. The Rambam never uses the word mustiki over here. Now again, there's like some technical issue there in that Gemara in Beitza that maybe mustiki is only necessary according to Tan Rabbi Eliezer, it's not necessary according to other Tanoim. But be it as it may, the Rambam who holds Yesh Binyan Bekelim, the Rambam still says I could break open any barrel on Shabbos. The Rambam does not say mustiki. And this is a head-scratcher. Why is it that you're allowed to break open the keli, l'cha'ora, there should be a real isser of stira b'kelim, according to the Rambam? Hi, Sophia.
I have a question, just to go back for 5 seconds, on the Mishnah, on Kofen Rambam Aleph. The Rashi says, d'im b'makalkel shomisr b'shabbat.
Yeah.
Right, so the Rashi before was saying, like, oh, it's on Rav's statement to Rav Masfulga, like, yesh b'nim b'kelim. But don't we, like, something that we did last semester, right, that we poskim, like, Rav, except for those 3 times, like, Shmuel? So why are we assuming that this Mishnah here is not lefishi.rav?
Right, so, again, Rav and Shmuel have a machlokas by us about whether Yechayv in all these cases Mishum Bona or Mishum Makeh B'Patish. Usually the halacha would be that we paskin like Rav B'Isurei. According to Rashi, it can't be, right? Because Rav is saying that Yechayv Mishum Bona. In this case, it would have to be some sort of exception. Right, that's another difficulty within Rashi's take on the sugya, but that's what would have to emerge. That Rashi would have to say... Well, that Gemara is saying that all the things of that Gemara that we learned doesn't say that we always pass like Rav. It said that everything that Rav did was like Reb Shimon, right? Besides those 3 cases, that's what you're talking about? I just don't know.
I don't know. Was that only cases about Rabbi Shimon? Was it? I don't remember.
Komi l'demar avid karav, Abaye said that his Rebbe, that Rabba did everything like Rav before these, besides these 3 cases, I did like Shmuel. That doesn't mean that we always paskin like Rav, not Shmuel. It just means that Rabba did everything like Rav besides those 3 cases. That's all that Gemara is saying. But, I mean, it's a good pickup. So again, according to Tosfos, I can only break open the keli if it's a mustiki, if it's a lousy keli. But the Rambam permits breaking open any keli. How can I open any keli? I should be worried about stira b'kelim. So what's the answer? The answer might be as follows. If Tosfos on Ayin Dalet is correct, that the Iser Bona B'Kelim is when I make a complete keli, start to finish, so one could suggest that Soser B'Kelim is only if I completely destroy a keli, finish to start. It's only if I mamish, obliterate it. Short of that, it would not be Stira B'Kelim. In the Chuvan Igris Moshe, in... I give them our muckle, right?
Can I ask a question on that?
What?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
There's many, but it's not the same thing, because if you don't start to finish, right, the Makli isn't usable. But if you are so serious, if you break something, the Makli
is still somewhat usable, right? In other words, Shovar Adolf Sachovis, Litom in the Grogros. What am I doing? I'm taking my sword and I'm breaking open the barrel and I'm going to take out some figs. I could still use the keli. It's still supporting the figs that remain inside it. I didn't completely destroy the keli.
What if you stabbed it in the side?
If I would completely destroy the keli, and Hochanami, according to the Rambam, you'd be chayiv. But the normal way of opening barrels to get the figs out is not that you completely destroy the keli.
Yeah, but then, I mean, doesn't the question of shovar imply that it's not?
I think...
Why do you say you open the barrel as opposed to how you...
You break open the barrel.
Same thing? Okay.
I think that's what we have to say to understand the Rambam. In the motion, that tshuva that I gave you, the naf hey, right? So Moshe says that the Rambam holds that bona bekelim, right, is only a problem if it's asiyas kli, but by stira, unless you destroy the entire keli, it's not a problem, and that's how the Rambam will learn the Mishnah. Alishava.
So, like, how, I don't know, like, I'm going to be sounding very ignorant, but, like certain times on Shabbos, and, like, people say, like, you know, if you're opening something, you have to, like do it in a destructive way, like, to, like, totally destroy it. So what if this go against his...
If you totally destroy it, it could be
worse.
Right, that's very interesting. That's totally destroying something might be worse in Rambam world, because then I'm so Sir Kaylee, providing it was a Kaylee beforehand.
Right.
Right, now, what we're going to have to do now is like segue into some of the practical stuff. Right? Basically, we have this different Shitos, Binyan and Stira Kalim. We have the Shulchan Aruch in Simeon Shin Yud Daled Se'if Aleph. This is an advantage of this room that they actually have Sfarim there. It's great. So the Mechaber in Shin Yud Daled Se'if Aleph. The Mechaber writes, "Ein binyan ustira bekelim, v'hani mili she'eno binyan mamish, kigon chavis shenishbara v'dibek shvareh bezefes yochol l'shavra likach masha betocha." Right, ein binyan ustira bekelim, but that's only if it is binyan. That's not binyan mamish. If I make a keli, it's a problem, and therefore I'm allowed to break open a chavis shenishbara v'dibek shvareh. In other words, the Mechaber basically says, like Taisvis on Kuf Mem Vav, that I'm only allowed to open what we would call a mustiki. No? That is the basic idea. Ubovad shlo yechavin l'nokva nekev yafe, because if you do that, that'll be metakein mana, which is something like makev patish. If I make a nice opening, then it's going to be like makev patish. Okay. So it seems like the halacha follows Tosfos that you're only allowed to open a mustiki, and even then you cannot make a nekev yafe. Now, the mechaber there in Shin Yudala goes weiter, and the mechaber says that if it's a very big kli, it has a din of karka, a gigantic kli. Right, if it's machzik arba'im se'ah, which is the shear of a mikvah, that's considered dino karka, and therefore you're not allowed to break that open no matter what. Now, our kalim. Let's talk about, let's say, a tuna can. No?
We love tuna in this year.
We love tuna, okay. Well, today tuna usually comes in packets, I think. At least the way my kids eat tuna, it comes
we
in packets.
We get the can.
Huh?
We get the can.
You get the can still?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe it's just because my kids don't like using can openers, and it's like an advanced skill. You know, you have to like know how to turn it. It's like very complicated. But let's talk about a tuna can. Opening a tuna can on Shabbos, what's the story? Is that considered a mustiki?
No.
Probably not, right? Why? It's pretty not flimsy. It's sturdy, no? On the other hand, one could argue that maybe it's considered junky because no one saves their tuna cans. Now the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish in Simin Nun Aleph Os Yud Aleph. Simin Orechayim Simin Nun Aleph Os Yud Aleph. Chazon Ish writes, by the way, most of the sources that I'm quoting now come from this book, the Orchos Shabbos. It's page 3. What?
That's in my section.
It's a great sefer. Orchos Shabbos, you could go find Sophie at the Storm Sale and buy it. What does it cost? I spent $16.67 on this one that's from sale.
Probably not.
I was many years ago.
I assume I got like 5-6 years ago. So the Archa Shabbos, page 366 and onward, he talks about the Isurim in opening containers on Shabbos. By the way, we'll be talking about it from the perspective of Bona and Soser. We also have to recognize that there are other potential isurim involved. A mochik, let's say there are letters on it, and you are ripping the letters. A potential issue of korea, of ripping in certain cases. A potential issue of mechatech b'mida, of cutting it to size. Right? So if we'd be giving a full presentation on opening containers, we'd have to deal with all those things. But we're not giving a full presentation. Now, we'll just be focusing on the Bona and Soser angle.
So it's not Halacha L'maaseh.
Well, I mean, if you want, we'll talk Halacha L'maaseh at the end. Like, but so, Chazon Ish felt that these kelim are not really a mustiki because they are reusable. And in fact, like some older people are like this. No, my father keeps all of his nails in the garage in like old cans. No?
Tuna?
Huh? Not tuna. He has like coffee cans and stuff that he keeps in. But if it's a keli that you're going to use and use again, it certainly is not a mustiki. The question that we have to address is a keli that I open and I don't throw out right away. I don't empty the contents of the keli right away, but I continue to use the contents. That's a more complicated shaila. In other words, if the keli is dumped out right away, the standard usage of it is that you throw it out right away, we could argue that that's for sure mustiki. However, if it's something that I save for a long time, like the old-fashioned cans that you use to keep your nails in it, that's not a mustiki. Now, the in-between case is complicated. Yes?
So is this like an objective-subjective thing, or like the potential that an item has?
So most poskim assume that depends on how things are used in your area, in your community, at your time. It's not like objective-subjective per se. It's more like standard usage. Again, there are going to be some who are machmir, and some who are more mekel. The issue with opening containers on Shabbos, by the way, just to give you the short answer, in the Archos Shabbos, he raises so many issues above, just open everything before Shabbos. Like, okay. The question is, like, what about if you didn't? Right? So then we have to, like, understand the dinim, but I think that's a very nice ideal, to try to open everything before Shabbos.
Or you could have, like, you could save your bottle caps, right? So if, let's say, could you open something, like throw out that cap, use a different one? Does that not work? No?
Hey, we'll talk about, maybe we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Okay, the svara for saving a bottle cap is that some of the soda bottles, when I unscrew the cap, usually the ring separates. The ring at the bottom separates on the cap on the top. By some soda bottles, it doesn't always separate, and you can get an entire ring with the cap off occasionally. So therefore, it's considered a davar she'eino miskaven, and that would be permitted. If it's a psik resha, let's say it's always going to open, you're always going to separate the ring from the
bottom ring.
So if you save a bottle cap, it could be that it's a psik resha de lo nichole, because I don't need to make this cap, because I already have a cap, and that would be an added svara l'hakel. It's lo nichole because
if
I have a cap, I always keep in my drawer.
The issue is when the piece separates from the bottom piece or when it doesn't separate?
If it separates on the bottom piece, I'm making a cap. If it doesn't separate, so then the whole cap was made already. That's the way it was beforehand.
Oh, I see.
Now, opening cans with a can opener is probably worse than opening cans not with a can opener. No? If I open cans with a can opener, that's more likely to be a Pesach Yofeh. And that would be more of an issue, because the Mishnah Kuf Mem Vav says that even when I open the Chavis, if I am miskaving Lasos Pesach Yofeh, that's going to be more of a problem. Now the Chazon Ish, in one of his essays, changes all of Judaism. Chazon Ish says that maybe the Chavis in the Mishnah is a keli because it was usable beforehand. There's a container that you could take off, you could get stuff in and out. But our cans, says the Chazon Ish, are completely sealed, and therefore they might not be a keli at all. And therefore when I open it, maybe what I am doing is I am being bone rather than being soser. Right? See, what we're assuming is that it was a keli, and if it was a keli and I open it, I am destroying the keli, right? That's the way we understand, like, Shovar Adam Sechavis. The Chazon Ish says, yeah, that's true by a chavis, but by our tuna cans, they're so well sealed that when it's not a keli yet, and when I open it, I'm making it into a keli. If I'm making it into a keli, that would be bone rather than soser. And this leads to some people, I don't know if you've ever seen this, there's some people who, if a container isn't open before Shabbos, they'll pierce the bottom and then open the top, because then it's not bone, because then I am, right, not making a usable keli, because there's a hole in the bottom. There's a hole in the bucket, dear Liza, dear Liza. Right? So that is... that is what some do. In the Sefer Archos Shabbos, they quote that Reb Nissim Karelitz says, whoa, 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 1 second. That, in order to do that, you have to be really sure that the Chazon Ish is right, that the only issue at hand is bona. Because if you hold that the issue at hand is soser, so then, right, even a tiny opening on the top could be soser. Or a tiny opening on the bottom, no? The Chazon Ish is saying that the whole issue is bone. Therefore, if I make a keli that's not at all usable because there's a hole in the bottom, it's not a problem. But if I hold that it had a din keli beforehand, right? So then any tiny break in that is soser kli, so then it makes it worse if I make the hole in the bottom. That's actually what Rabbi Willig tells people.
Rabbi who?
Rabbi Mordechai Willig. He taught the first Gemara here in Stern after the Rav. You know him? I'm missing something.
It should be a recording.
It sounds like there's a good story here. Okay.
Wait, so Willig says that you should be...
that you should not make the hole on the bottom, because making the hole in the bottom could be worse.
I know, right? So, please.
Now, the Chazon Ish...
So, you should open up your tuna cans before Shabbos also.
So, the Chazon Ish asks opening these cans for many reasons. First of all, you might continue to use the can. You might not dump the whole thing out, etc. Okay. Well, you might not dump the whole thing out, and then one could argue that it is more of a problem. Let's talk about a soda can. A soda can Yeah.
Conclusion, we shouldn't open the tuna can on Shabbos.
I think to open the tuna can on Shabbos is not an easy kula, largely because you're making a Pesach Yofeh.
What if it's a tuna bag?
So a tuna bag is certainly a mustiki. Mm-hmm. Right? Anything that's like plastic flimsy is a mustiki. As long as you're not ripping the letters, the tuna bag is also never used and reused. I think that should be heter gomer. Everybody holds that something that's completely flimsy and you'll never reuse and you dump it out right away is heter gomer to open, providing you are not ripping letters in the process. Like, you know, the sugar packets?
Yeah.
Right? Heter gomer. Again, you have, it's not so easy. It says domino a lot of times on it. Right? So you gotta...
I'm a pro. The
salt
packets are very hard.
I mean, but it's all perfectly permitted. Because you're not making any kli whatsoever. You're not destroying any kli whatsoever. It's a mustiki. It's lousy. It's garbage. It's all fine. Good? What about an Israeli milk bag?
Canadian.
Huh? Canadian milk bag. I apologize. Anywhere outside of the backwards United States of America where we...
That's so interesting.
But it's not, you keep it, but you only keep it in the other container. It's not like it.
Right, so I don't keep the bag on its own, but the bag is still usable. I don't keep the bag on its own because it's all going to drip out. Right? Tara might know. Are there like some clips that people have that they can like hang the bags?
Yeah, but it doesn't
smell.
No. They have to keep it inside those plastic things.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is like the skill that we had to develop in yeshiva. How to take those plastic knives and like slit open the bags. It's like, whatever, this is... So opening the milk containers, most poskim assume that it's perfectly permitted. Because even though you'll continue to use the milk container, or again, the plastic milk bag, we'll have to do it like this, even though you'll continue to use a plastic milk bag, but lemaisa, it is really a lousy keli, and the svar that the Chazon Ish has, that something you continue to use, might be a problem. Apparently they're not so worried about that svara. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was meiko on this in Chelak Beis Simin Yud Beis. However, Nissen Karelitz, is Machmir, and his Chumrah is the same as what we were saying before. He's worried that making any tiny hole in something is going to be a problem. Because if it was a Keli beforehand, so then I could be so serious with any tiny hole. Now, Reb Shlomo Zalman, for some reason, says that there's an advantage. Let's say I didn't open my milk bag before Shabbos. There's an advantage to make the tiniest possible hole, like a pinhole, in order to get the milk out. The milk will come out very slowly, by the way. But you can make a pinhole, says Reb Shlomo Zalman, because in Halacha, and we'll talk about this by next year, there's a difference between a nekev that's osoi lahachnes lahutzi and a nekev that's only osoi lahutzi. If the hole is so small that nothing ever goes into it, stuff only comes out, so in that situation... Right, in that situation, it is going to be less of an issue, and Reb Shlomo Zalman says it's fine. And this in Karelit says, no. Even a tiny pinhole is going to be a problem in these milk containers. Sophia, then Elisheva. And Michal, you had a question before that I just cut you off? You'll be number three, yeah.
So the Mishnah Kuf Bet, I'm going to bet, we were saying the whole thing is like Kol Shehu. So like with bone, if it's Kol Shehu, would that also then apply to Soter Kol
Shehu? I think so, yeah.
So then if you do a tiny hole...
That's what Reb Nissim Karelitz is saying. However, one could argue that if we're dealing with like such a lousy keli, so then, and it's a tiny hole, so that it's not osoy lahachnes lahutzi, that might make it better. And this in Karelitz is machmir on the plastic bags for milk. Elisheva.
If we're saying it's really so lousy and it's like a mustiki, so like why would it be osoy lahachnes?
Yeah, so again, So if it's really a mustaki, it's not at all a problem. That's what our Mishnah says. However, if I'm worried that it's not a full-fledged mustaki because I continue to use the keli, right, as long as the milk is in it.
So, like, both of them don't really think it's a full-fledged mustaki. Because they're both saying, oh, maybe small hole.
Right, they're both choshesh, that it's not a full-fledged mustaki. Nachon. Yeah, that's correct. That's a good, it's a very good hara. Michal, you had a comment?
You know, I'm just confused, because if you say, if you make, like, a hole in the milk bag on the top, let's say, wouldn't that be comparable to the chavis, where you're just opening and closing it.
Right, so I think the idea of the chavis is that you're going to take everything out right away. And over here, since you're going to continue to use it, I think that's what Elisheva was trying to get at before. It makes it worse. It might not be a full-fledged mustaki.
So the case of chavis in the Mishnah is like, you open it, take out all the grogros, and then...
Possibly, yeah.
But if not, then... it wouldn't be
and also a chavis as a mustaki, it's like all put together like with chewing gum. It's lousy. Over here, it's a beautiful thing of plastic. Clean, fresh, gorgeous. It's not like lousy material. It's beautiful plastic. It could kill a full whale. It's amazing.
Right, but making a hole in it doesn't destroy it at all. From especially in the top, like you're not...
Correct.
So now that is Sira.
It was a keli in the sense that it would hold stuff permanently, and now that there's a hole in it, the stuff will come out of it. The question is a sealed container considered a keli? Right? The Chazonish assumes a sealed container is not a keli. If a sealed container is a keli, so I'm destroying it in the sense of now stuff can come out. It's a keli that it holds stuff.
Does the keli have to be, right, like Tara was saying this, does it have to be, like, if you leave it in its position, it would be fine? Or, like, if I flip it upside down or whatever, then, like, then stuff would come out.
I mean, that was, like, our question about milk bags that have to be in those.
Yeah.
I don't know if the positioning matters that much. I'm not sure.
Okay.
The Chazon Ish himself was Mekal on opening envelopes on Shabbos. Now, there are different types of envelopes. It's like the old aerograms, which none of you have probably ever seen. An aerogram is like an envelope that, like, you'd write on the inside, and then you'd rip it open, and then you could, like, see it. If it's an envelope that holds stuff, and you will never use it again, the Chazon Ish feels that fundamentally me'ikar hadin it's mutter to open those. However, the Chazon Ish says that people sometimes save their envelopes, and therefore you shouldn't open them. Does anyone keep stuff in old envelopes? There are people who do that, no?
Yeah.
That you'll keep, like, checks or something in the old envelope or whatever. So that's why the Chazon Ish wanted to ask her that. Again, this is all connected. Opening soda cans on Shabbos. So a soda can is metal. I flip open that thing and it makes that very neat circular opening, right? Isn't that what happens with the soda can? Is that considered a Pesach Yofeh?
Yeah.
So one could argue that it is a Pesach Yofeh, and that would be in violation of the Mishnah that says that it's a problem. However, one could argue that maybe if something is entirely disposable, so maybe there's no Isser Pesach Yafa at all. Reb Shlomo is, you see, we're not really sure what the Metzius is by that Chavis in the Mishnah Kuf Mem Vav. One could argue that by the Chavis, it's not something, it's lousy, it's garbage, it's a mustaki, but it's something that maybe you'll continue to use again and again. One could argue, however, that a soda can, does anyone ever save their soda cans and reuse them again and again? It's kind of gross, no? Like, people wouldn't do that. If you'll never save your soda can and reuse it again and again, so the whole thing is in Gansen disposable, and one could argue that something that's completely disposable is like a saccharin packet, which is like, right, a sugar packet, which is like Heter Gummer to open. It takes you a little bit of time to finish the soda. Yeah, but you're going to throw it out right after. Maybe it still is okay. It's not exactly as good as the sugar packets. When I open it, I make a nice opening, and that's a Pesach Yofeh. Yeah, Well, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, maybe there's no din of Pesach Yaf on some that's entirely disposable. Maybe Pesach Yaf is only by Mustaki, which is not disposable, it's just lousy. Aye, isn't there an Isser Mechatech? Right, or Mechatech B'midah? Aren't I cutting it down to shape? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach quotes, and it's found here in this book in the Aruch HaShabbos, chapter 11, din 43. Pachiyot shtiyah sheyesh broshan simun asher nitan lepotcho ayde meshicha tabaat v'notzar bahen petach na'eh yesh asru lepotchan b'shabbat mishum chshash isur asiyat petach v'mishum melechet mechateich v'yesh hitiru bazeh. Rebbe Yoshev was machmir. Reb Shlomo Zalman is matir, opening it, and there's no iser mechateich. De kevan shezarkim et hapachit la'achar shimush, ein ale Hashem kli, v'harei hitfeila lo'ochel shebetocha, u'kishem shel chashashul iser korea b'chotlot, mishum dehevi kishover kli pe'egozim. Right, there's a Tosefta. The Tosefta says, achosol shebetmarim, if I have the dates that are in, let's say, a basket of lulavim. You know, a lulav is like a date branch, no? So if I have like a flimsy bag that has the dates in it, I'm allowed to rip it open. Because it's viewed, says the Tosefta, like the peel of an orange. It's not viewed like it's something separate to the food. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, anything that is entirely disposable, it's like choso shebetmarim, and therefore you're allowed to open it on Shabbos, and there's no iser mechateich, there's no iser korea, everything is going to be fine. And he brings over here another svara, why it's not mechateich. He quotes that our Gemara has misates asa even. Misates asa even is I square off the stone, no? And the only discussion in the Gemara is whether it's bone or makar or patish. How come we don't assume that's asur mishum mechateich? I'm cutting off some of the stone in order to, right, square it off. You know, like the koltel stones have like those borders. Why is that not mechateich? So they quote over here that there's a tshuva at the beginning of the Sefer Maaseh Rokeach, where he says that mechateich is only if you cut off something that is not intrinsic to the item itself. Mechatech is when I cut off, like if I have fringes on a garment. It's not the actual garment. So that is mechatech. But when I have the actual garment itself, then there's no mechatech. Similarly, over here, one could argue that there is no mechatech. Again, the question that we still have to deal with, obviously, would be if there is some mechiko when there are letters, but generally soda cans, I think there's no letters where you pop them open, so that should be okay. The bottle caps sometimes have words on them. If they have words on them, it's more of a concern. The only Laffy Taffys. Yeah, those
are so hard.
No, actually, what you could do is you could flip open the middle part and you take a knife and you just...
It's so sticky.
Like, you don't eat them. No one forces you to eat Laffy Taffys.
You know, I felt
in shul, I give out marshmallows on Shabbos. I don't give out Laffy Taffys.
Yeah.
The parents feel that they don't want me to give out hard candies. They're a choking hazard, and they don't like Laffy Taffys because it makes the kids like all yucky. So if you give out marshmallows, it's like it's very successful. My contribution to Judaism. Okay. There is a discussion by Mechate, by Mochek, that maybe if you rip between the letters, it's less of a problem. That's already a different conversation. I don't want to go there in terms of Mochek. If we take the Rashi seriously, that when Rashi and Kuf Mem Vav said that there's no Isser Mekalkel at all when I open the barrel, and I say that Rashi, maybe you don't accept my pshat. You don't say that Rashi's only talking about Kalim because Ein Binyan and Ein Stira B'Kalim, but you say maybe there's no Isser Mikalka at all, if you're dealing with food, and the Ran might sound that way. So then we have a ton of coolers. If you take the Rasha and Kuf Mem Vav in that expansive way, so then you could be make on the Mochik issue, you could be make on anything that is destructive, that is Mikalkel, we could permit. There is no Kula, however, in the Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa, Chapter 15, note 249, he points out that he thinks it's a mistake what people say that you can only open packages for food on Shabbos. Anything that's considered a tzorech, he thinks, is permitted. Some of you were asking questions about that beforehand, which I totally missed, but that's a guy thing. But the fact is that whatever is considered a tzorech, again, so let's talk about that. Right, so to open the pads on Shabbos, so it's completely disposable. You throw it out right away. Right, they come in like these plastic. Then you completely throw it out right away. So that is not an isser at all. No, that should be absolutely mutter. Opening diapers on Shabbos, right? The same thing. Some poskim were machmir years ago that you had to open the tabs of the diapers before Shabbos. So it's a very nice chumr, but it completely ruins the diaper. Yeah. Right? Because then the diaper is like, a diaper is only as good as it stays locked. Right? This is like,
whatever. But no one
does that.
No, I'm saying no one uses diapers again anymore.
Right.
And disposable.
Right. So the thing about... So no one uses cloth diapers anymore. The thing about diapers, Rabbi Sabalovsky pointed out to me years ago, that even though no one uses it, no one reuses a diaper. I think that's correct. But at the same time, when you take the diaper off the baby, if you put the tabs back and you seal it, so then what you are doing is you are permanently attaching it, and that might be a malacha d'oraisa of tofer.
Whoa.
Right? So what you should do when you take the diaper off is you just put it in the plastic bag, and you dump it in the plastic bag, and then you throw it in the garbage. You don't re-tab it. How are you allowed to put the diaper in the plastic bag on Shabbos? Isn't there an iser of mevato kli mehichano that we spoke about? So many poskim feel that there's only an iser mevato kli mehechano if it's like a permanent kli. If it's a disposable kli, basically our whole cheshbon that we're coming up with tonight is that disposable kelim might not have a din of a keli at all. For this reason, for example, Moshe Feinstein says you don't have to toivel disposable kelim, no? The Ramosha also questions, the Tzitz Eliezer questions, maybe you can't make kiddush on a disposable plastic cup. It might not have a din of a keli. Right, if it doesn't have a din of a keli, so there's no issue of mevato kli mehichano. I probably have to stop to make this shuttle back. But these are just an overview. It's kedai maybe to read the section on opening containers that's in Rabbi Ribiat or in the Archos Shabbos, just to get a general overview. In none of these firm will you have real kulas, because they'll just tell you to be machmer in everything. But I think we're presenting the possibility, the range of the kulas we presented nonetheless. Sounds good?